Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
So I'm Sarah Day O'Connell. I'm an associate professor of music at Skidmore College, which is in upstate New York. It's my third time in the village, but my first time teaching. Before I taught at Skidmore College, I taught for 10 years at Knox College in the music department. And before that, I was a Lilly Fellow in the humanities and arts at Valparaiso University. As a postdoctoral fellow, I taught in Christ College, which is the honors college there. My sessions here at Holden were focused on the composer Leonard Bernstein. And I guess the first impetus for that choice was the fact that he's having his 100th birthday next month. August 2018 puts Leonard Bernstein at 100 years old. But really, I almost think I would have chosen Bernstein as a topic even if it weren't for the centenary. Because the things that Bernstein stood for, music and social justice and education, actually, are really core values here at Holden. And so I knew that the topic would resonate no matter what. The education piece, I think most people do associate Bernstein with music and social justice, but the education piece has been lost a little bit, I think, from his legacy today. But interestingly, he said that it was the part of his legacy that he was most proud of. So my third session talked about Bernstein as celebrity music educator, which he really was when he was alive. Two examples. One is this more sort of erudite side, which is the Norton lectures that he gave at Harvard. And then the other example is his more accessible side, which was the young people's concerts. These were broadcast, television programs broadcast on CBS between 1958 and 1971. But let me tell you a little bit about the Norton lectures first. He was invited to do it in 1971. It was a position, an ongoing position at Harvard that some other composers before Bernstein had held. For example, Stravinsky held it for a year and Copland held it for a year. And those were both idols of Bernstein. And so he was very excited to add his name to that list. But it wasn't just for musicians. E.E. Cummings was also a Norton lecturer. W.H. Auden was also a Norton lecturer. Bernstein had graduated from Harvard himself. So he was just psyched to be invited back to his alma mater, and he felt very honored. He started the position in 1972, and as it happened, his daughter was a sophomore at Harvard that year. And so he just kind of slipped right into hanging out with the students, which was part of the job description. He was very popular with them because he was handsome and he was charismatic, and he just, he would smoke with them and he would drink with them and he would talk about popular music with them. And they were like, who's this guy who knows our music as well as we do? And he really makes us think about it. And they just loved him to the point that they made him Man of the Year in the student newspaper. But it wasn't all fun and games because he also had to give these lectures. It was six very long, very erudite lectures. And he starts his first one out with this quote. He says, "The best way to know a thing is through the context of another discipline." And that proves to be the theme through all six. And he takes six lectures then to argue this idea that music is kind of like a universal language, and the lens that he's using in each of the lectures changes, right? Like, he's trying to know music through the context of another discipline, he says. And those other disciplines are linguistics and philosophy and acoustics and history. During the session that I talked about this, one of the participants said, okay, so this is Bernstein getting deep. And I think that's right. Jamie Bernstein, his daughter, the one who was a Harvard student at the time, said this. In the 1970s, Bernstein turned himself back into a student in order to prepare his Norton lectures at Harvard. He immersed himself in Chomskyan linguistics, absorbing an entire new field of knowledge so that he could then apply the principles of linguistics back to music, thereby creating a brand new field of study and turning himself back into a teacher. Ambitious? Oh, yes. Was he in over his head? Completely. But he was never happier than he was in the 18 months on the Harvard campus, reveling in his dual role as student and teacher. So that's a little bit about the Norton lectures, and now to the other side of Bernstein's career as educator, the Young People's Concerts, which, as I mentioned, aired from 1958 to 1972. They were 53 programs, described as arguably the most influential phenomenon in music education in the second half of the 20th century. They were broadcast in the U.S. and in 40 countries around the world. I've got some quotes that give you the flavor of different programs. For example, he devoted an entire program to the concept of sonata form. And he starts out by saying, "It's wonderful to be back with you again after, I hope, what was a nice, restful summer vacation. And since you're all looking so bright and ready to work, I've picked a real hard subject for this opening program." And then in a program that was all about overtures and preludes, this was 1961, he says, quote, "Why a program just about overtures? Well, I'll tell you. When I was a boy and first discovering music, the biggest kick I always got seemed to come from the overture. I used to wait breathlessly for each new program in hopes that an overture would be played. So today I'm going to try to recapture some of the excitement for myself, and I hope for you too, by playing a whole program of nothing but overtures." And then the third quote that I have is from a program that was devoted to the composer Gustav Mahler. And in fact, they focus on a really kind of arcane piece called Das Lied von der Erde, which means the Song of the Earth. This is from 1960. And Bernstein says this, "Certain people were amazed when I told them that I was going to play Das Lied von der Erde for you today. They said, 'What? You're going to play that long, slow, highbrow music for young people? You're crazy. They'll get restless and noisy. They won't understand it. It's just too highbrow. It doesn't even end with a bang-up finish. Nobody will clap.' Well, I know my young people, and I'm not afraid to play this music for you. I know you'll understand it and even love it because you already know more about Mahler than most people do." So I think the thing that I wanted the class to take away from those quotes was just this idea that he was making music fun and accessible, but not by dumbing it down, not by making it childish, but in the words of a review that came out actually in the Newark News from New Jersey after the very first episode, they said, "A new way of teaching young people about music has been discovered. It's to treat young people like adults." And that's basically what he was doing. But he was not afraid to get down on their level. The main thrust, though, I think, of the session was to look at ways in which these different episodes were products of their context, the political context, the cultural context. Of course, there were a lot of social clashes going on. This was the long 1960s, right? 1958 to 1971. A lot of upheaval. And so I showed a clip from a program that was devoted to the Russian composer Shostakovich. And I think the class was interested in the fact that Bernstein gave a somewhat positive image of the Soviet Union. Not to say he endorsed the philosophy of the Soviet Union, but more to say, like, these are people just like us. They have common humanity with us. And he also knew that Shostakovich was a composer who was really pinched by the Stalinist regime. And so he wrote a letter to Shostakovich to accompany a tape of the program that he'd done in Shostakovich's honor. And he wrote this letter knowing that the Russian authorities were going to read it, because they read everything. And he wrote this. He said, "Dear honored Shostakovich, I'm happy to be able to send you the films of our recent Young People's Television program in honor of your 60th birthday. I hope you like it, and I hope it brings you some affection and esteem, which we feel for you. Many happy returns of your birthday." Another clip came from a program that was devoted to Beethoven's opera Fidelio. And in it, Bernstein describes his opera as a timeless monument to love, life, and liberty, a celebration of human rights, of freedom to speak out, to dissent. It's a political manifesto against tyranny and oppression, a hymn to the beauty and sanctity of marriage, an exalted affirmation of faith in God as the ultimate human resource, end quote. And I think what strikes me about that and what we ended up talking about in the class is that he's almost working subliminally here, right? Like, he wants to talk about the importance and the power of dissent, and he sneaks that in there. But it's also kind of sandwiched in between all these sort of more unobjectionable things like beauty and the sanctity of marriage and an exalted affirmation of faith in God. But he also talked about how important dissent was. He's not lecturing us about it. He's not beating us over the head with it. He's finding a way to do it that's still going to be palatable on CBS, you know, during prime time on network television. I'll give one more example. This is from a program on Holst's composition, The Planets. And if you know that composition, there's one movement that's about Mars, who's, of course, the god of war. And in it, Bernstein says this: it presents an amazingly realistic picture of war. The racketing of machine guns, the grinding of monstrous tanks, the whole horrible juggernaut of the war machine, plus fanfares and marching and screaming and all the rest of it. And then he plays a clip, and then he says, now that may be an exciting piece to hear, but it's not exactly beautiful music. You might even call it ugly music. But then what is uglier than war? And this music is not so much an impression of the planet Mars with its red glow and its possibility of life, as it is an impression of Mars, the god of war, after whom the planet was named. It's an inhuman piece, utterly mechanical, brutal, and relentless, just like war itself. Inhuman, brutal, relentless, and mindless, end quote. And so there, that's not so much subliminal. That's pretty out there for prime time on CBS, and I'm frankly surprised that they let him get away with it. But he was pushing the envelope. So I just want to end with a quote from his daughter, Jamie Bernstein, which I think kind of gives you a flavor of all three sessions. She says, there's a Hebrew phrase that makes me think of my father, Torah Lishma, and it means, loosely translated, a raging thirst for knowledge. I'm sure you've all had that feeling. Maybe you were researching a subject you were intensely interested in. You came across a document that went right to the heart of your thesis. Or maybe it's the day after the presidential debates and you buy all the newspapers and you're salivating with anticipation at reading all the spin. That's Torah Lishma. And Leonard Bernstein had it about almost everything. He just could not absorb enough information about all the things that interested him. Shakespeare, the Renaissance, world relations, Lewis Carroll, biology, Russian literature, the two world wars, astrophysics, French drama, and any places where these topics overlap. His brain was on fire with curiosity, and what he loved most was to communicate that excitement to others. So I hope I was able to communicate some of that excitement that I share about Bernstein. I share it because of his wide-ranging talent as a composer, conductor, pianist, commentator, especially educator, the focus of the last session. He was really a poster child for liberal arts education and the way he advocated for social justice, because of the way he felt that his most important calling was to educate. So I really hope I've gotten the classes interested and excited about Bernstein too. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.